Good evening, and thanks for being part of our online mission tonight. Whether this is your first night or third, I probably should include second as an option as well. You're very welcome. Bringing the word of the Lord to our attention tonight is Reverend Thomas Martin from Cumber Free Presbyterian Church. James Gailey is on the children's address, though the children's question tonight has something to do with that Alabama fiddle. Keep listening. May the Lord bless you.
Boys and girls, I'm just up in the attic having a wee look around, and I came across this. This is my old cassette player, and I used to rush home and listen to songs in this, and when you open it up, it plays these wee things here called cassettes, and they play about 30 minutes of songs and music, and I could put it in, and it plays, and I thought this was really, really good when I was a kid, until the CD player came along, and this is a CD that held many more songs, and you could skip to the ones you like. And it was portable, you could take it wherever you want, on the bus or the train, and I just loved it. And suddenly, this wasn't important to me anymore, and I tossed it up into the attic. You know, and even nowadays, on your phones, you can listen to millions of songs, and suddenly this is of no importance to us anymore. And maybe sometimes people are like that too. Maybe some people have said they would keep a promise to you, and then they change their mind and they break their promise. And some people say that they maybe they like you and they're friends with you, and then the next day they don't want anything to do with you. Is God the same? Well, we read in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. You know, Jesus Christ existed before the world began, and Jesus Christ will still exist after time has gone. And you know, the difference between me and everybody and Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ always loves and he always keeps his promises. You know, the book of Hebrews reminds us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and he rose again 3 days later. And God promised that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And for 2,000 years, God has kept this promise, and he has saved so many people across this world. And can I ask today, have you been saved? Have you been changed by Jesus Christ? And can I encourage you that God will keep his promise if you come and you turn, put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he will take away your sins.
One verse of scripture that would sum up my testimony is, it's found in Psalm 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The first few words of verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me on the 14th of August 1967. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a good home, but went along to church and Sunday school. But then you leave Sunday school and school behind you, and there you start work. Then I started to go out at night with the fellas and started to smoke and drink and gamble. And I had a very foul mouth and lived a very immoral life. But there was a man next door to me called Jimmy Owens, and he was praying for me, and yet I didn't know it. And he prayed for me night and day for my soul. I come out of my home one night on the 14th of August 1967. Nowhere to go, no money for drink, no money for gambling and all the rest of it. But I went into Jimmy Owens' house just to kill a bit of time. No, didn't want to talk about God or the things of the Lord. We talked about weather, we talked about jobs, we talked about family and friends. But her brother got an opportunity, and he opened up the scriptures, and he told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he could give me life more abundantly in him. And as I listened to her brother, the Holy Spirit took control of me, and I remember I started to cry and weep, and I left his home that night under conviction of sin. I went to walk round Seymour Hill Estate where I lived, and there was a battle going on for my soul. As I was walking round that estate, the devil was saying, Sam, if you get saved, what about those fellas you drink with, smoke and gamble with? They're going to laugh at you and all the rest of it. But you know, I had heard the still small voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said unto me, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That night I went home, knelt by the side of my bed, called upon God for mercy, and her brother was true, the word that the Lord gave to me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I knelt by the side of my bed, my breath reeking from cigarette smoke, and I would get down on my knees, an old rotten sinner, and stood to my feet, and you creature in Christ Jesus, all things passed away, all things became new. And I stood to my feet, I knew I was a new creature. You see, salvation is not an outward work, but it's an inward work. And that or that, as I knelt by the side of my bed, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed me from all sin. And I went into the living room, my mum and dad were there, and I just said, I got saved tonight. And if the Lord spares me to the 14th of August, 1960, this year, I'll be 53 years saved. You know, the Lord's never failed me once. If you're listening to this testimony, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. And I found God's word to be true, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You come to know him and accept him as your own and personal Savior in Jesus' name. Amen.
from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, the verses 36 and 7. The Word of God says, and our Lord Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I just want us to bow briefly in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the preaching of the Gospel. Father, I take the promised Holy Ghost. I take the power of Pentecost to fill me now to the uttermost. I take what he undertakes for me. And in answer to prayer, save the lost, restore the backslider, revive the church, and glorify thy dear Son. We ask these things, believing with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, these words of our Lord Jesus Christ teach us something of the reality of the soul. For housed in that body of yours and in this tabernacle of flesh of mine is the most precious possession that you and I have this side of God's eternity. It's called our soul. Now tell me, have you ever thought about your soul? In the book of Genesis, in the chapter 2 and verse 7, we read these remarkable words that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became, listen to it, a living soul. And so God not only created the body from the dust of the ground, but that body without the soul was dead. But God breathed into the nostrils of our first parent Adam, and he became a living soul. And so that soul was given to Adam, and he was not only body, but he was also soul. And so the soul is of divine origin. It was not made from the dust of the ground like the body was. Rather, it was given by the breath of Almighty. And therefore, it's unlike the body, but the body houses the soul. Your soul is as real as your body. It exists, my friend. It is alive. And I want to ask you the question again. Have you ever thought about your soul? The Bible has something else to tell us about the soul, because it speaks not only of the reality of the soul, but of the immortality of the soul. In Luke chapter 16, for instance, we read these wonderful words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he speaks about one who dies and goes to Abraham's bosom and has eternal life. And then those solemn words, one who dies, and the Bible says that he dropped into hell itself. Now, I want you to remember this, that you have a soul, and that soul will live on the lifetime of God, either in God's heaven, saved by grace, or in God's hell. The Bible speaks of everlasting life and everlasting punishment, and it's in relation to the soul. The soul at death goes to either two places, heaven or hell. And I remind you, in Luke 16, both died, and the Bible says the rich man died and in hell. Now, he died, his body was buried, but he was still alive. But his body was dead, physically on the earth. But his soul was somewhere else. It was in hell. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And yet Lazarus, that poor man who believed in God and died a saved man, he was in Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise with the Lord. At death, both men were alive. It's relation to the soul. And I want you to ask you the question, have you ever thought about your soul? There's the reality of the soul in these verses. There's the immortality of the soul. It does not age like the body. It does not rot. It does not decay. I want to tell you that the body, while it may perish, the soul lives on. The lifetime of God, the soul never dies. It either is saved by grace, washed in the blood, trusting in the finished work, and is in heaven. Or else it's lost in sin and hell for all eternity. My friend, tell me, have you ever thought about your soul? The Bible has something more to say about the soul. Not only the reality of the soul in these verses, or the immortality of the soul in Scripture, but I want to tell you, the Bible speaks of the depravity of your soul. That soul of yours, so precious, so real, so important, so vital. That soul of yours, the greatest possession God could ever give you apart from the salvation of that soul. That soul, my friend, is stained by Adam's sin in the fall, and it's soiled by your own sin. That soul is not fit for heaven. That soul is separated from God. And if you die in your sin, your soul will be lost in hell for all eternity. For the Bible says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tragically, your soul, so precious, so vital, my friend, so important, that soul of yours is a sinful soul. And it's not ready for heaven. It's unprepared to meet the Lord. Therefore, That soul of yours by sin is cut off from the life and enjoyment of your Maker. My friend, there's only one thing you possess in this world, and it is your soul. Listen to how the Lord puts it in the text. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Now listen to it. And lose his own soul. You don't bring your money with you into eternity. You don't bring your property. You don't bring your family members. I tell you, you go out alone into eternity, and you go out as a saved soul or a lost soul. Now let me ask you the question. Have you ever thought about your soul? With this thought in mind, I want to say two things about your soul tonight. First of all, I want to say there's danger. Your soul can be lost. Look what it says in the text. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, if that was possible, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And there's danger tonight, because your soul, my friend, could be lost for all of God's eternity. There are many things you can lose in this world, but you can regain and recover them all. You could lose your health and regain your health. Some people during this time of the COVID-19 virus, you would know well, have been in hospital. You have seen the scenes. The doctors and nurses are clapping as they're leaving the ward because they've recovered. There was one woman who welcomed her husband home after some 5 weeks in hospital, taken with the coronavirus. And I want to say to you, you could lose your health, but you could recover it. You could lose your money and go bankrupt and yet still make money and get back into business. You could lose your marriage and yet the marriage can be repaired and you can recover that loss. You could lose your business. You could lose your house. You could lose your car, and they're all recoverable. But friend, if you lose your soul, it's irretrievable. Such is the value of that soul that if you were to gain the whole world, it would never compensate for its loss. In a Christless hell. You know, some people, my friend, they have starved their soul. What do I mean by that? They neglect to bring that soul regularly under the sound of the glorious gospel of Christ. They fail to bring their soul to hear the soul-saving truths of the gospel. That Christ came into this world who is God, blessed forevermore. That he lived a sinlessly perfect life. The soul needs to hear that message. And that he, the perfect Son of God and Son of Man, God in two distinct natures and one unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, became the Savior of the world. And he died upon the cross an atoning death, shed his blood as the substitute for sinners, paid the price with nothing left to pay, and offered himself a complete sacrifice to God. And I want to tell you, friend, that some people starve their soul. Some murder their soul by love of sin. Some poison their soul by entrusting it to the church and to their good works. But I want to tell you, friend, there's nothing you can do for your soul to save it except you bring that soul to Christ. You come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can exchange your soul for lesser things, but it will never compensate for its loss in eternity in hell. So tonight, friend, have you ever thought about your soul? There's danger, isn't there? Your soul can be lost. Can I say finally, there's deliverance because your soul can be saved. There are many things you can do for your soul. Murder it, starve it, poison it. You could sell and exchange it for other things. But listen, you cannot save your soul by your own effort. There's one thing you cannot do for that soul. You cannot make it clean. You cannot make it right. You cannot save your own soul. But God alone, in Christ alone, save your precious, never-dying soul. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby your soul must be saved. Therefore, the Lord commands you to look away from your church, your sacraments, and yourself, and to look to Christ, the only Savior of your soul. For by grace will you be saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad a depraved soul can be a delivered soul, a ruined soul a redeemed soul. I'm glad a lost soul can be a liberated soul, and a sinful soul a saved soul. And why is it? It's because of Calvary. Because of God's love for you as a sinner, and that he sent his only begotten Son to die for your sin, and Christ took your place, that your soul might be saved. Christ receiveth now sinful men, If you repent of your sin, turn from your sin, separate from your sin, and confess it to God, he will save you. I leave the text with you tonight, where it tells us, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Have you ever thought about your soul? Your soul needs to be saved. May you come tonight and repent and believe for Jesus Christ's sake.
Our gracious God, we praise thee for thy word in this mission tonight. We thank thee for this address on the value of the soul. We recognise that when wealth is lost, that's nothing. Whenever health is lost, that's something. But whenever the soul is lost, that's everything. May souls not be lost, but people repent and come to saving faith in Christ for Jesus' glory. Amen. The question that you're looking for tonight, children's question, is the hymn that Jacob played on his violin, "Nearer, My God, to Thee," is associated with the sinking of which famous Belfast boat? We're in the same place, same time, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Greg Gibson from our Liverpool congregation will be giving his testimony, a quite thrilling story as to what the Lord can do in salvation and how he helped when Greg and Rebecca's son Daniel arrived at only 25 weeks. Reverend John Morrow will be preaching. Singers will be here. Make sure you come.